The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Brandon Miller, and I'm here from York, Pennsylvania, and I love the Mickey Miles podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 466 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa. And with me on the show that you are listening to right now on your favorite listening device is the one and only Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome back from your New York City.
Thank you. Thank you. I saw a lot of half marathoners when I was leaving yesterday on the subways.
And you weren't one of them.
I was not one of them. No. But yes, it was a lovely time. And I guess there were a lot of people who ran half marathons. There were people who had PRs. There were so many half marathons. There was in Virginia, in New York, all over the place. So my shout out is to all those half marathoners. I guess early or mid-March is a big half marathon time. Who knew? Did you know?
They knew.
They knew, not me. Mm-hmm. I was busy finishing up spring break. I'll tell you who didn't come and see me. In New York. Matt Hotchberg was there. No, I was talking about Chris. We're in the same area at the same time.
Yep. You came down. You came down and I went further down.
Yes.
That's right. Down. And who is that we're hearing? It's none other than Chris Eliopoulos. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Michael. Yes, actually, it's funny that you mentioned it. My friend Nate, who I talk about all the time, who is going to be running the Dopey with me this coming January, he was scheduled to run a half on Saturday, but they had predicted, as they always do, a ton of snow on Saturday, which did not happen, so they canceled the race. It was
were saying there was snow.
I don't know if it was Fire Islands. One of the islands out there where they were going to do a race, and they canceled it on Saturday because of the weather, which didn't happen. So it was funny because he went out and decided to go run on his own anyway, and I was out running myself, and when I was done, I sent him a note and said, "Wow, that snow was really hard to run through today, huh?" And he's like, "Shut up." So we hit it. But and then on the side note, my song for your playlist, if you're making it up as you go along, is "Fox on the Run" by The Sweet, which I'm sure that's Mike's favorite song.
Fox on the Run, da 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 da. Fox on the Run. Is that it?
So close, Michael. So close.
Just a
one of these days, I'll pick a song you actually know.
I thought you
were going to say that I don't
know.
Fox on the Run. Actually, yeah, Paul McCartney, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Listen up. It's a fun song. Actually, you know what? Now that you mention it, it's actually on Guardians of the Galaxy, the preview, whatever they do, it's actually on that as well. So there you go. It's a Marvel tie-in.
So, that there were two songs about foxes. What did the fox say?
Foxy lady.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Here we go down.
How about the fox and the hound? There was a fox. There was a hound.
Wow. Was that when you taught elementary school? You used to sing that?
They run
elementary,
around.
That's his playlist.
Around, around.
Wow.
That's his running playlist.
Thank you. All right.
Okay.
Do we have any shout-outs or was that it?
Any
tips, shout-outs, nothing?
You want a tip? I'll give you a tip. This tip has been going on for a million years, and it's still good today. And that is that if you happen to go to Walt Disney World or Disneyland and you're an early bird, take a look at when the turnstiles are supposed to open, and you want to be there 30 minutes beforehand because you never know, especially during the high traffic days like April vacation, spring break, April vacation, and especially from mid-June to the end of August, I would be at the turnstiles 30 minutes before the operating hours say, and you never know, you could get in early. So that's my tip.
Oh, you should also share the tip of how you got your daughter to get up early when you went to Disney World. What would you tell her?
Oh, well, this was, we're driving down and we're in Jacksonville, and I couldn't sleep. I was really excited, and that was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up and I grabbed everybody, and I know my daughter really likes to, she was she liked to sleep in back then, as all teenagers did. And it was, we packed the van and we're ready to go, because we were maybe 2 hours from Orlando, 2.5 hours. And we get in the van. I turn on the car and it said 3:30 in the morning. And my daughter said, "Dad, it's 3:30. I said, "Oh, I thought it said 5:30. Do you want to check back into the hotel and sleep another couple of hours?" And she said, "No, let's go." And she fell asleep in the
car. I like it. So you lie to your kids to get them out the door early. No, I'm saying I think it's a good idea.
Yep, always lie.
Change always the lie. Box, yeah.
If you want to leave at 6 o'clock, you tell them you want to leave at 5:30. Then you leave at 5:45, and you'll be 15 minutes ahead
and
of time.
And you get to rope drop.
That's right.
Yeah. Dude, it helps everybody out. Mm-hmm. It's a win-win. And plus, she slept the whole way. What does it matter? She slept in the car in the hotel.
Yeah, she had a nice, she had the whole, you know, she had her own row in the van. It was a brand new van. It was really nice. So.
Yeah, we're the dopes that have to drive and stay up. So.
That's right. The whole way. Drove the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing? Oh, so today we are recording on March the 20th. It was 3 days ago, Monday, March 20th. It was 3 days ago. So it's last night if you're listening right now on Tuesday morning. And on March 17th, of course, the grand opening of the live-action film Beauty and the Beast, which none of us have seen. Chris has not seen it. Michelle has not seen it. I have not seen it. But two of us will be seeing it tomorrow night. And so before we see it tonight, we thought we would do the preview and talk about, you know, what we're going to look for in the movie. You know, you've heard a lot of chatter about it, but, you know, what are we going to look for? What are we going to anticipate?
What would make it a win for us?
What would make it a win for us? What we'd like to see, what we'd not like to see, what we're looking forward to see, what we think about it now. And I know that I have some thoughts. And so we're going to start off with talking about different areas. I'm going to ask Chris first to comment on this particular area. Chris, how do you see, let me ask you this, do you want the film, the live-action film, to follow the storyline exactly as the film, as the animated film does? Or do you think there was something lacking in the film that you think they may want to expand upon in the live-action?
No, I don't think there's anything lacking. I think the animated movie was actually spectacular, and maybe, I don't remember, was the movie itself, it was nominated for Best Pick, which was it net for Best Picture? One of the animated movies was nominated for Best Picture. I forget which.
I do remember that was the Disney decade, and I know that I read articles saying that Michael Eisner pushed for that being the picture that wins Best Picture. I think it was nominated for Best Picture, but it didn't win it.
Right.
It's tough for an animated film to win Best Picture.
Yeah, it was nominated for, so it was one of the first, if only, animated movies that was nominated for Best Picture. Best Original Score, Best Sound Mixing. So those are the nominees. It won for Best Score. So, you know, in the past, animation has always sort of been the ugly stepchild when it comes to the Oscars or in movie making in general. And the fact that it was nominated for Best Picture kind of said a lot, that there was a feeling that it was one of the, you know, it was actually up there with traditional movie making. So I don't think they need to change, or they didn't need to change anything about it, but they think they should, because it should be its own movie. You know, you're dealing with different possibilities when you're dealing with live actors, and the way that the computer generated images that are available today are, you can change things around and make things a little bit more realistic. I think the story obviously is going to stay very close in terms of the relationship of Beauty and the Beast. And maybe because it's a live action, you flesh it out a little bit more. Because, you know, in animation, you sort of can almost accept that this woman falls in love with a hideous creature. And but when you see the realistic version of it, you know, there's that feeling of like, ugh, you know, like he is a, like, that's the funny part is, and we'll probably talk about it later, is the fact that they, there was a big controversy about nothing, about a little gay moment in the movie. And nobody mentions the fact that this is like bestiality on the side. So, you know, I don't know.
Wait a minute. How can it? That's another podcast.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't want to go take too far down this road, but
I mean, they don't even.
What do you really think?
They
Chris?
Don't even kiss when he's a beast. Right?
How do you know?
You know, so you're saying it's left... implied that there's some nanu nanu going on. You know?
I don't know. Well, is it the theory that they fall in love? You know, and then they're, you know.
Nanu nanu.
I don't know. I love that hairy
Mork
beast.
And Mindy.
That hairy beast, you know. Not to mention, well, we're getting off the track here.
All right.
Michelle,
sorry. I just forgot
the question. I don't know what the question is. What am
does
I
it change
to?
From the original movie?
Yeah, do you think the story should stay true to the animated film?
Yes. I think one of the things as you guys were talking that I was thinking about was I looked at IMDb for the original cast, and there were some people who are pretty famous, you know, Angela Lansbury. But I don't think I went into that movie thinking, oh, I want to hear more of the wardrobe or who is Joanne Worley. You know, it was charming, but there's so many stars in this movie, and I'd love to hear more of, you know, see more of Josh Gad. I think he's just, you know, in the Book of Mormon and Frozen, he's just such a fun character. I'd like to see more of him. And I'm a big Kevin Kline fan, so he's her father. I'd like to see more of him in the movie. And I think it would be nice if there was a little extra with that. That's what I think. What do you think?
One of the things I keep thinking back to the movie, and there are certain scenes in the animated film that a lot of people forget. Discussions with Belle and her father about inventions. One of the other things is that when Gaston is conniving with this guy who runs the insane asylum about having Maurice put away, those are the things that I'm wondering how much time they're going to spend on those areas, and if there are other areas within the animated film that they just, for one reason or another, did not want to explore, possibly because in an animated film, you don't want it to be really quiet and quiet dialogue. You want to see action, fun, and all kinds of things like that. So I would hope that they, and I'm sure that they do, they will hold this live action film to in the high 90s of what the animated film has. And I think for most people, you know, we remember certain parts of the animated film. And as long as those parts are in the live action, I think we'll be okay. Now, let's go back. And Michelle, I'll ask you to comment first on, and I think you already did, let's talk about the casting of the characters.
Oh, boy. I know you have something to say about this.
So how do you feel about it?
How do I feel about it? Well, I'm a big, as I said, big Josh Gad fan. I love Ewan McGregor, Stanley Tucci, and I know you're going to have something to say about this, but I really like Emma Watson, too. I don't think that there's a conflict with her, you know, having done all of her Harry Potter stuff and being a main character in this movie. I don't think I'm going to look at her and see Hermione Granger. I've also been watching some interviews of the cast, and Luke Evans, who plays Gaston, he seems to be really charming and funny. And I looked at some of the other stuff that he's done, and I'm not a big Fast and Furious fan. I guess he was in that stuff. But I think the cast is really, they did a great job. And I think that I didn't think Kevin Kline was old enough to play Maurice, but I think he's going to be terrific. So I'm really excited about it. Chris?
Yeah, no, I look, Mike, we know, is Mr. Bell, right? I mean, so I don't think anybody could live up to his expectations of who could play Bell. But yeah, you know, it's here's the thing. I do have a slight problem with all of these films trying to take animated movies and turn them into live action, because then the comparisons are seemed to be like the big thing. And we're already comparing, like, you know, is she living up to the animated character? Is, you know, Dan Stevens going to be a good Beast? Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, like, you know, why, like, it can't even stand on its own without being compared. But I guess it's good for a podcast. But, you know, I mean, they seem to be all good actors, and it seems to be, you know, a really, I mean, Ewan McGregor, Ian McKellen, great actors, Emma Thompson. These are all, like, good actors that, you know, will play a good part in this thing. So I'm not really, you know, worried too much about the actors. So, but I'm sure Mike has got something to say about Belle. So.
Yeah, I think good. I said Emma Thompson instead of Emma Watson. But Emma Thompson Emma is in it, too. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Mm. So what do you think, Mike? Are you, like, just already given up on hope for this one?
No, I think
I'm
that
sign off for a while. I think that
I'll be heading up to get a drink. I'll be back in 10 minutes when Mike's done.
I think that for the most part, they did a good job. I think that Josh Gad is a perfect LeFou, at least from what I've seen in the trailers. Kevin Kline, I haven't seen Kevin Kline in a long time, so I'll be curious to see. Maybe he's a little bit older and stuff like that, so that's going to be good. Now let's get to Belle. A few weeks ago, Michelle, we saw a movie called Hidden Figures, right? In that movie, there was a character who was played by Jim Parsons. I remember talking with you afterwards, and I said, you know, I just kept on seeing Sheldon. And you sort of agreed with me. You said, yeah, it looked like it was Sheldon out of place. And I feel the same way with Emma Watson. I'm not saying anything about her acting ability. I'm not saying anything about her singing ability. All I'm saying is that when you play a role for such a long time, you just... There's a lot of people who just can't get that role out of their heads, and I'm one of them. And I agree with Chris. There may never be a person who could have played Belle. I did think of one actress who I think could have played Belle maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and I think I would have been fine with it, and that would have been Amy Adams. I think Amy Adams could have been a good Belle. Other than that, you know, because she's a good actress, she's a good singer, but, you know, nothing, I mean, and I'm going to wait and see, you know, when I see the movie, what it is. But I have my own impression as to what each heroine should be like, what Belle should be like, you know, what she should look like, how she should act. And maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. But I just think that it was very risky for them to cast somebody who's so well known for a role that she played for so long. And then I have to talk about, you know, Moana was she was played by Ollie Cravallo, who was an unknown. Yeah, she wasn't going up against an animated, previously animated character, but sometimes the unknowns are the ones that really make the movie. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I have not heard anyone else question this, and maybe it's because I'm kind of Belle crazy, but we'll see.
Yeah, but who else would you get who would have the star power to pull somebody, you know, viewers in? I mean, you really need a name for these kind of movies.
I don't think you need star power for this movie, though, Chris.
I do. I think every movie these days needs they almost need to guarantee a big box office, and a lot of the way you do that is you bring in a big name. I think Emma Watson, you know, because of all the Harry Potter stuff, will garner a lot of attention. I mean, think about it. It's created so much discussion for you and other people about, is she right, or what's this going to be, and you know, we have to check it out. So you know, I would be afraid. I don't know if they would chance it having an unknown actress come in and play the lead for this one.
Well, I don't know who else was in contention, so that's something. That's another interesting thing to find out who was in contention.
Yeah, but they usually never tell you.
Yeah, they don't. So we'll see. All right, let's go on to music. Michelle, what do you think is going to happen with the music from this movie? Is it going to be...
Well, I've already heard the
win?
Soundtrack.
Well, yeah, but I mean, do you think...
I have not heard it yet.
Really? I sent it to you.
Well, you guys... I know. I wanted to wait. Wow. But because I'm also doing a lot of other stuff in the meantime. But what was your feeling about the soundtrack? Don't pull punches. Don't, you know, because you started to say stuff offline.
Yeah, I actually wasn't It didn't knock my socks off.
Don't include the demos. Though,
yeah.
Michelle.
Well, I will talk about attention. That.
Demos. I'm sorry.
So I don't know. It didn't. I think I would go back to the animated soundtrack and listen to that over and over again. I don't know if it's just because it's pounded into my head and I'm used to it. But if you get the soundtrack, it includes lots of extra demos by Alan Menken, and those were horrible. I just thought those were absolutely horrible. But it's fine. I think that there are some songs that Disney songs that I don't know if you guys are like me, but it doesn't matter how many times I hear it, how many versions I hear. I always like the song. Like Under the Sea is one of those songs. I could hear that song over and over again. It's just always going to make my toe tap. And Be Our Guest is another one of those songs. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that is shown in the movie. But I don't know. For me, it was just like a C.
Was her was Emma Watson's voice strong? Oh, I don't think we've ever heard her sing.
Oh, no. I thought it was just fine. It just, I don't know. It just kind of left me flat. What did you think, Mike? Did you listen to it?
I listened to it. I think that... Excuse me. The Broadway version, the songs that were sung in the Broadway version, I like the way that they were done. I'm sure that this is going to be fine. There are two pieces of music that I'm looking forward to. One is Be Our Guest, like you said, Michelle. The other one is a little bit, it'll be familiar to a lot of people, but there's a little bit of a change towards the end. And the title of that piece is called Transformation. And it's when things change at the very end, when the castle changes back and all the characters change back, and Lumiere and Mrs. Potts and everybody, they change back. There's a little bit of a change there. But I think, like as Chris mentioned with the 1990 version, or was it 1992, whatever, I think that it's probably going to win for score, best musical score, because Alan Menken is highly regarded in the music community, and the demos are not in the film, so
yeah,
I have to throw that in there.
I wanted to add one more thing, Chris. I want to let you have your turn too, but this just popped into my head. I think there are some musical soundtracks that could stand alone. Star Wars, but when you are watching Star Wars and you hear the soundtrack, it makes the soundtrack better because it's it was designed to go with the film, so. As good as Star Wars is, I think it's even better when you're hearing it and watching the film. I don't know if Chris would agree with me. And I'm thinking that because I've heard the soundtrack for the movie Beauty and the Beast, that when I see the actual movie, that I'll enjoy it more. So I don't think I'm giving it a fair shot, I guess.
Well, we'll see. Chris, have you
heard
it?
But Star Wars is not a musical, whereas this movie is going to be a musical. So it is integrated into the film. So I mean, yes, obviously if you take the music out of Star Wars, the movie's gonna be 100 times worse than it was. But I think it's not beholden, there's not a song and dance number except in Return of the Jedi, but let's not talk about that. It's like I haven't even listened to the soundtrack yet. I'm a big soundtrack buyer. Like I buy soundtracks like they're going out of style, just while I'm writing and stuff like that, I'll have the soundtrack playing in the background. So it's definitely something I'm probably going to pick up anyway, just to listen to. But some things like this, the musical, I want to see the movie before I get the soundtrack. So we'll have to wait and see. Once I see it,
do you have Apple Music? Because I keep on sending you things.
I do.
Okay.
Yep.
Because you don't have to.
Particular. Like if I like something, I buy it. It's a weird quirk of mine. I always want to support the artist, because in my business, so many times you put out product and then people will, pirate it and put it out there for free, and the creators don't get any money for it. And I think a lot of these streaming services don't give people as much money as they deserve, the creators of the content. So if I do enjoy something, I try to buy it to show support for those creators.
Oh, now I feel like a heel.
No, look, you pay for the service. I pay for the service. It's not. I'm not saying I don't listen to songs, through Apple Music or whatever. But I used to. I think I was on Spotify for 10 seconds. I always feel like I want to support those who create. So there was my lecture for the night.
I have two more questions for you guys. I'm going to go right back to Chris. Chris, is there anything that you can think of that you are concerned about this movie that you think that they're going to miss hitting the right spot on something? Is there anything that you've been thinking about saying, gee, you know, I wonder if they're going to do this right. I wonder if they're going to swing and miss on this. Have you thought about anything like that?
Yeah, I haven't watched like one or two of the previews, so I don't really think I got a good look at all the transformed characters. So all, you know, the, you know, Cogsworth, whatever. See how good it is? I don't remember names. How they looked, how they worked as objects as opposed to people. I'm afraid. You know, the fun thing about animation is you can create this great character and the animation can make them come alive in a way that a realistic thing doesn't. So I'm afraid that when you see those, it's going to be like a little bit of a startled feeling, like that's, it just doesn't look as much fun and interesting. It's just going to look
with the CGI.
Yeah, like I think like a clock walking around and talking realistically is not going to be as interesting as an animated character. So that's what I worry about. Other than that, I think, you know, obviously the Beast, I mean, the pictures I've seen, he looks too handsome. He's like, yeah. It's supposed to be a curse. And like I've read people say that they found the Beast version more attractive than the human version. So, which I found interesting. Do you remember that old TV show Beauty and the Beast? And the guy, he was dressed, he was like,
Ron, what's his name?
Perlman?
Yep.
Yeah, was the Beast, and like it was like a thing for a while. Women were like in love with this character, and so you wonder, you know, is he just too good looking? And like it's supposed to be like a curse and a burden, and he, you know, and yet people are looking at him going, "Hey, he's kind of cute."
Yeah, but in the animated version, he's cute, right? At the end,
Everything's kind of cute in that movie.
That's exactly what I was going to say, that I haven't mentioned before Dan Stevens. And, you know, I know you guys are as big Downton Abbey fans as I am.
Uh-huh.
He is from Downton Abbey, and Matthew Crowley in Downton Abbey. Loved him in that. I just don't see him as the Beast. And, you know, I am a fan of his. I don't know who would have been a better choice, but he's just not big and burly enough. I know they did something to his voice. I saw some of the previews. So, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me. Dan Stevens. But maybe I'll be wrong.
What about you, Mike? You seen anything?
The one thing that I'm concerned about, Chris, and I think that you made a good point saying that it's a lot easier doing certain things in animation than it is in live action. And one of the things that I almost want to guarantee that I'm going to be disappointed in is those musical pieces involving choreography. I don't think that the live action choreography will be able to be meet the standards that were set with the animated film. The Be Our Guest with all the dishes and everything, you know, that's animation, and you know, unfortunately, you can't get that same level in live action. Although CGI, I'm sure will give it a shot. But I'm, you know, concerned about that. I'm concerned about any song that involved dancing and movement about. So I think that's where that the film will have to be judged on its own. And one of the problems is going to be there's going to be that comparison. And I think that's where we're going to run into some issues. But I've heard only accolades so far, you know. Last question. Last question. This is a serious one. I want, and this is sort of a roundtable thing, I just open this up. What do you guys make about all this stuff about the LeFou character? It just amazes me how people are all bent out of shape. It's like there's never been a gay character portrayed in films before until this weekend. And I just can't get over it. Can you guys comment on what you've been hearing?
It's just, go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, thanks. So, you know, I've seen some people, some of our friends, comment that they didn't see what the big deal was.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just a it just shows some of the struggles that our country is having these days. And I don't know what to say about that. I just think it's a non-issue for most, I know, all of us. So I guess that people who are upset are saying that they don't want to take their kids to this Disney movie, but I don't know. I think it's just a shame. It's just really. So I think it's up to us to kind of put the word out there and say what a great movie it is, and it shouldn't make any difference to anybody. Chris?
Yeah, no, you know, here's the thing. From what I understand, the moment was just a fleeting little nothing moment at the end of the film. And of course, people get riled up about everything. Like people try to look for offense in everything they can find. And so I think one, it'll be good for the film, which it sounds like the box office was doing well. Anytime you see a controversy, I can't even speak tonight, like this, it brings viewers, which is a good thing. I think it set this film up so that people were like, oh, I want to go see what's going on here. And more people, you know, anytime a movie's protest, usually the box office goes up because people were like, well, now I know about this film. I want to go see it. But I think a lot of this is that it's the Disney brand name, right? And people think when you get Disney, you get X, whatever X is, means, you know, wholesome American, you know, films. But, you know, let me put a spin on this and be the first to say amongst probably 1,000, I won't be the first to say, but I think that is a wholesome American value. I don't see a problem, you know. God, I don't want to be on a soapbox, but people are born the way they are born, and they are who they are. And, you know, I was reading stuff about a side controversy, I can't even speak, today, which was about the Iron Fist TV show. And a lot of people were having a problem with that TV show because in the original comics, Danny Rand was a white American male who went off overseas, went to Asia, learned this kung fu, and came back to America. And in the TV show, they did that. They didn't. And a lot of people had said, you know, maybe it's time to have an Asian American actor play this part. It would actually add to a little bit of the mythos of the story. And there have been a lot of people, a lot of friends of mine, who have pointed out the fact that they don't see themselves in these movies and or films or TV shows or whatever. And I think back when I was a kid, and it's totally a different thing, but in the sense that I grew up as a short kid, and when I saw Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future, that's probably one of the reasons I love the film, is that I saw a short guy who was the hero of a movie. We all want to see ourselves in these films, and I think Disney is being, you know, wholesome and thoughtful about this because they're representing people out there who want to see themselves in movies and know that they're okay. So if you have a problem with this because there's a gay person there, maybe the problem is you and not the film. And maybe you should open your eyes and open up your mind and heart a little bit and try to see it from somebody else's point of view. So end of lecture. Thanks for coming, class. Test on Thursday. So sorry.
Yeah. And who's to say that gay people won't be upset that LeFou is kind of a buffoon, you know?
Right, right. I mean, there's always a both sides, and you know, have an open mind, go in there, you know, both sides, and you know, just enjoy it for what it is. You know, stop trying to be offended.
All right.
Sorry, Mike. Did you have anything to add?
Wow. You took some of the words out of my mouth. The interesting thing is that over the years, the Disney films have tried to be as realistic as possible with the animation and the CGI stuff, and in many cases we've seen things come along. I believe it was in Tarzan. Well, first off, you've got the death of a sort of a main character in The Lion King, and that was a big deal. And we also saw someone's life leave them in shadow form in Tarzan, and now we're seeing a character being portrayed that pretty much is the norm these days. It was the norm before it was the norm. It was, and so I don't understand why people are like this. It gets me upset. I mean, this is probably the most realistic component of the entire film. Everything else is fantasy, but this is real. And it really bothers me when I hear and read of people who are going to deny their children the joy of watching this film, which is one of the most anticipated, if not the most anticipated, Disney action, live action film in my lifetime. And it just makes me upset, and you know, it just shows you that there are some narrow-minded people out there, and you know, it's really sad, but this is the norm, and this is fine.
And here's another thing to think about too, that there are a lot of families, children of gay parents, and how are they going to feel if people are saying this about their families? And you know, and there are a lot of thousands and thousands of gay families who, you know, or gay parents who bring their children to Walt Disney World or Disney Park, or have them watch a Disney movie every year. And, you know, they're part of who makes America America.
One last thing, and then we're going to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. I want to underline what Chris said, because he took the words right out of my mouth. It's a wholesome film. Mm-hmm. It's a wholesome film with that character in. It's a wholesome film without that character in. Because we're all one family, and that's the way it is. And so that we'll see when we see the movie
I'm going to have to interview you guys on the next one just to see how it went.
That's right. That's right. And we'll probably start off talking about the cast, right?
I think you need to give Emma a chance.
Well, I am. I'm going to the movie, right?
Oh, listen to this.
Wow.
Hey, man, you just gave a whole speech. We just gave a whole speech about giving everybody a chance in this movie. Come on,
there
buddy.
Come on,
you can do it, Michael.
You can do it.
All we are saying is give Emma a chance.
Okay, Monsieur Mejean, we're going to see the Beauty and the Beast.
Here will be the thing, Chris. I will take a picture and send it to you after the movie. I know, and Mike does not like a movie, because what does he do? What do you do, Mike? You sit there with your arms folded across your chest.
I do that for all the movies.
We'll see. Yeah. We will see.
We'll see. So, until next time, this is Mike Scopa and Chris Eliopoulos and Michelle Scribner-McLean. Join us next time as we review Beauty and the Beast, as we want you to come and be our guest.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.